Exodus chapter 16. I want to preach to you a message called Come Out of the Wilderness. Come Out of the Wilderness. You see here in verse number 1, the Bible says that the children of Israel came to a very interesting name for a wilderness, came to the wilderness of Sin. This wilderness was a desert of Arabia, and geographically speaking, it was on the western arm, if you will, of the Red Sea. It was between Elam and Sinai, if you're a Bible geographical person, between Elam and Sinai. We read that from verse number 1 there. This area, the wilderness of Sin, just to give you a little background, was a vast, hostile, sandy, stony. It wasn't the place where you'd want to set up shop and be there for any length of period of time. You'd want to go through it and get out of there as quick as possible. The Lord brought them into this wilderness brought them into this wilderness here because it was a very wonderful place for God to work on the position and the spirit of the children of Israel. As it says here, they were complaining. And you've probably read any about the children of Israel. Once they left Egypt, you can read many times, that's what the children of Israel were found doing, was complaining. And this desert area made for a great place for God to test and shape the character of His people, the children of Israel. I thought this morning, on this very first Sunday, that I would like to bring this a message this morning of great challenge, of great challenge. Tonight I'm going to preach, and just let you know, tonight I'm going to preach Come Alive in 2005. Come Alive in 2005. So, boy, mark it on set your alarm clock, 5 o'clock. If you're taking that afternoon nap, get up at 5 o'clock, you know, have a cup of coffee or a glass of juice, and come alive tonight in 2005, and we'll preach about that this evening. But this morning, I want us to be challenged that, think about this statement for a minute. We must take every opportunity in our lives to be challenged regarding our walk with the Lord. Anytime somebody comes across your path, whether it be a message in church, whether it be somebody listening to a message on the radio or on audio tape or whatever it may be, and you are challenged by the preaching of the Word of God, boy, I tell you what, you better stop, write down what it is. If you're listening to it in the car, pull over, jot a note down, because everywhere we turn and everywhere we look, God is doing everything He can to challenge us to do more for Him. Now, it is up to us to take that challenge and run with it. It is up for us to take that challenge and do something about it. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you want to turn there real quickly, you may. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. As you're turning there, and you'll look at it for yourself in just a moment, Paul said there in that passage of Scripture, old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. The year 2004 is now an old thing. It is dead to you and I. We cannot do anything about, and I know preachers say this probably every first Sunday of the new year, we can't do anything about the year 2004, but it is so true. As we get to at the end of today, when I wake up in the morning, January 2nd is dead to me. January 1st is already dead to all of us. We can't do anything about January 1st. It's already over with. All those football games you could have watched are over and you can't watch them now. Amen, wives? Amen. No more football games. Only a couple more to go. All that food you could have ate on January 1st, you can't eat it on January 1st. You can eat it today, though. But that's dead to us. The year 2004 is dead to us. There is one thing, however, we can do regarding the year 2004. Learn. We can learn something. We can't change anything, but we can learn something. I mean, we can change something in now, but we can't go back and change anything. You know what I mean there? But there is one thing we can do. We can learn. We can learn about 2004 what was positive. I've mentioned several things this morning that are positive about the year 2004 in our church and in our home and in your life. Many, many things that you can think about this morning. You sit down and take a moment and you can think many, many positive things. Where you work, you can probably think of positive things. The building in which you live, you can think of positive things about the neighbors, about getting over an illness, about God watching over you in an automobile accident, or many, many positive things we can think about in the year 2004. We can also learn from the negative things. There were many negative things about the year 2004. I don't think you ought to dwell on those and get sulky and poochy lippy about it, but we can learn. We can learn about those things. This year, we have chosen as a theme in our church, Each One Reach One. You notice on the back of your bulletin today is a song. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I searched high and low, but I didn't search high or low enough. And Mrs. Sierra helped me out. To her great thanks. I appreciate it. This is where the theme came from, was this song right here. Now, I want you to look at that, you can look at it right now, but I mean, we're not going to go through it, but that's our theme for the year. Is each one reach one. And this is where that theme was born from. So I don't take credit necessarily for the theme, but that's a great message there in that song. And by God's grace and by His power and by entrusting in Him, I believe each of us can determine to follow through on this theme. Each one reach one. Do you know what happens if we each one reach one that are here this morning? With the glorious gospel, well, that's that many more people that are going to be in heaven at the end of the year 2005 that aren't headed to heaven now. That also means that chances are that this room is going to be very uncomfortable because it's going to be filled with more and more people to come to church on Sunday. Because if we reach one, our church is going to continue to grow. And as I said yesterday at soul winning, our goal is not to build a big church. Our goal is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. However, He did give us a command that we are to reach people with the gospel, as many as we can. To be what God wants us to be, and to each one reach one, I've chosen this theme for the message. We must come out of the wilderness. We must come out of the wilderness. Number one this morning, by way of an outline, there is always a place called sin in the wilderness. Right here, they're in the wilderness of sin. But in life, when we're comparing the wilderness to being away from God, trying to make that comparison, if you'll allow me to do that, and I know the wilderness was necessary for the children of Israel, and we're going to piece that together too this morning. But there is always a place of sin in the wilderness. Would you take the Word of God and turn to James 4:17? James 4:17 this morning. Come out of the wilderness. If we're going to reach one, we must come out of the wilderness. Look at James 4, verse 17. Very familiar passage. The Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. That's the key word there. Knoweth to do good. And doeth it not. What is it? According to the Bible, sin. That's not Pastor Turner. That's not Anchor Baptist Church. That is God's Word. Now, what did I say the key word is? The key word there is good. Whatsoever a man find to do, he that knoweth to do good. What is good? The more that I learn what good is, actually back up. I'm ahead of myself here. Let me give you this statement. And if you write things down, write this statement down. It is not original with me, but this is, I love this statement. Knowledge of duty increases the obligation to perform it. Did you catch that? I know it's Sunday morning and it's early. The knowledge of duty increases the obligation to perform it. And then I rewrote it to say this. That's perfect how it's said, but I wrote it like this. The more that I learn what good is, the more I am obligated to do that good. The more I learn what good is, the more I am obligated, the more I'm obligated to do that good. Let me give you an example from the Bible. Are you still there in James? If you're still in James, you're in the neighborhood of 1 John 3. Let's take a look at this. 1 John 3, verse 17. So what is good this morning then? That's the key word according to this first verse of Scripture that we look at. We know that we need to come out of the wilderness, number one, because there's always a place of sin in the wilderness. We read in James chapter 4 that if we know what good is and we don't do it, then we're in the wilderness of sin. because the Bible says to him it is sin. Let's look what 1 John 3:17 says. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? It's asking a question. Basically what that, you know, you can interpret that, I'm sure, but it's saying, if I see that a brother has a need, and I shut up my compassion, and I say, no, I'm not going to do whatever I think, whatever God says the need is, then how dwelleth the love of God in me? Therefore, if I'm doing that, I am not doing good. Him that knoweth to do good. What is good? What is good is if I see a brother in need, or if I see a sister in need, and if God says, do it, then I better do it. If God says, write him a note. If God says, make him this, do this for him, help him in this way, whatever, it might be, send him an email, send him a card in the mail. Hey, then if I don't do that, and I say I'm too busy, then I'm in the wilderness of sin. Because, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Look, I want to be out of this wilderness, this idea of I only live for myself. And we as a church need to say, in the year 2005, we are going to do the greatest job that we can to not live for Anchor Baptist, but to live for those outside these walls. Because if we live for those outside these walls, they will come in here. You see. We're supposed to show Christ in us, aren't we? What do we call ourselves? Christians. That word has been, that word to me has been, I talked to somebody yesterday, that word has been stretched a little bit. It's been used loosely, let's say. I think it's a great word and I think we should still use it. But a lot of people say, I am a Christian, and maybe they don't understand the meaning of that word, the value of that word this morning, but to me, that value, the value of the word Christian is represented right here on this table. Very valuable. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Boy, it's very valuable today to be called a Christian. Not only is it valuable, but it comes with a tag. It comes with a responsibility. What is that responsibility? To do good. Because if I'm not doing good, I am in the wilderness of sin. So this morning, number one, if I believe we're to do all that we can, and we're to each one reach one, I believe number one, we've got to come out of the wilderness. Come out of the wilderness. Why? Because there's always a place of sin in the wilderness. We are in the wilderness and need to come out. Listen to this verse as I read it quickly. 1 Peter 3:13, maybe jot it down. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? You know, there is an ulterior motive, even though that's not the object, but there is an ulterior motive for doing good. Bible says, 1 Peter 3:13, who is he that will harm you if you are doing good? If you are a follower of that which is good, you are protected. You say, well, how could I be protected? I got a list of 20 things God did to me. See, that's the wrong attitude. God didn't do them to you to make you fear Him or to make you, be afraid of Him or to cause pain to you. He does things to us to make us better people. He does things to us to make us better Christians. You see, and He knows what you can obtain. He knows what you can handle, excuse me. He knows what I can handle. And so when He brings things into our life, it's only to help us to do more good. So this morning, I want us to think about that. What is good? May our goal be this year to do that which is good. As we learn more of what the Bible calls good, we must be obedient to what we learn. So many times, boy, I tell you, you can tell me this morning, if you've been in church any length of time, and 31 years and a half of my life, I have learned a lot of what good is from the Bible, but learning it is only one part. Amen? That's half the battle. But if you don't do the other half, really, what's the point in learning it? What do you learn it for? To do it. To practice it. To follow through with what you've learned. May we be obedient to be doers of what we've learned this year. Being faithful to church is good. Why is it good? You say, Pastor Turner, you always say, be in church. Why is it such a big deal to be in church? Well, it's biblical, for one thing. I don't think I need to go any further than that. But if you want more than the Bible, I can give you a few other reasons. You know, when you're in church and you're going through a difficult time and you see all the brothers and sisters in Christ that are there, I guarantee you, you might be going through the biggest, deepest battle that you've ever been in, but a brother and sister in Christ will come up, shake your hand, hug your neck, say, I'm praying for you, good to see you here today. And at that moment, are you thinking about the battle that you're going through? No, you're not. But you know what? And I know sometimes we're providentially hindered, we can't make it. But you know what? If I'm sitting at home in front of the boob tube, when I should be in church, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about all my problems. Oh, woe is me. Sometimes we can't make it. I understand that. You're sick. Please don't come when you're sick. And, or you're out of town or whatever. I understand that. But all I'm saying is, there's more to coming to church than just saying, I did my penance this week. I went to church. No. And you know what? There's somebody else that you can encourage here too. I saw many people today giving people hugs and shaking hands and God bless. Hey, that's what church is all about. That's why I say church is a good thing. Boy, don't let church leave a sour taste in your mouth. Church is a good thing. Helping others is good. Doing something for others is good. Sharing the gospel is good. Giving when the offering plate comes around, as I said earlier, that's a good thing. So we need to see, as God teaches us from the Word of God, and we hear something, and we say, wow, you know, Brother Ehlert's message on Wednesday night, if you weren't here, you missed it. Oh my goodness, I wish we'd have taped it. You need to hear it. Maybe we'll tell them to try to preach it again sometime. And it'll come out just as good the second time, probably even better. And boy, there were some things I wrote down, and I said, boy, that's good, and I need to do that. Now, I should do it. Just because I wrote it down, that's only part of the job. I need to do it now, whatever God told me it was. So we need to figure out what is good, and then when we figure that out, and we learn, and God, and just say, God, please teach me what more good I can do for you. And when He tells us what it is, we've got to do it. You know, much like I thought about this, things that are good to do. You know, making oatmeal cookies is good to do. Just kind of set that in your mind this morning. Just kind of subtle hint there. That's a good thing to do. And hold the raisins, please. That's a great thing to do. It's somewhere in there. Amen? God sent manna, and manna was sweet. And it's just actually in the next few verses there. You keep reading. But oatmeal cookies, that's like manna from heaven for me. Right out of the oven, you know. And that's a good thing. Therefore, the him that knoweth to do good. So now you know what good is this morning. Amen? I'm not gonna take advantage of the pulpit here today and say that if you don't make oatmeal cookies, I won't go any further. But hey, we want to each one reach one. We've gotta come out of the wilderness. Why? Because there's always sin in the wilderness. We've got to come out of there. And if we know what good is and we're not doing it, then we are in the wilderness of sin. Let's determine right away. When somebody preaches, when God speaks to us throughout the week, God lays something on our heart and we know it's good to do, let's just say to God today, I'm going to do it. You'll help me. You know, we can't do it on our own, by the way. You got to get God in on this thing. You can't do good on your own, in your own strength. You know what we want to do? We want to do what's good for us all the time. We got to say, God, help me to not be selfish. Help me to put those thoughts aside. And when a need comes in, help me to meet that need and give me the resources or the ability or the words to say to help meet that need. Number two, we need to come out of the wilderness. Why? Number two, spiritual leadership is often challenged in the wilderness. Would you look there at the Bible back at Exodus? We've been flipping around here a little bit. But if you don't mind flipping back to Exodus chapter 16, let's see what happened in the wilderness. Verse number 2. Who had God, by the way, before we read, who had God put in leadership over these children? Moses, and then he had a sidekick there working with him, kind of an assistant, if you will, Aaron. Okay, Moses and Aaron. And let's see what happened here in the wilderness in verse number 2. The whole congregation of the children of Israel patted them on the back. Oh, wait a minute here. My vision has been affected. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against who? Moses and Aaron. Now read that prepositional phrase right after it. Where were they? In the wilderness. See, we've got to get out of the wilderness, folks. We got to get out of the mindset, and we got to put our thoughts here to this thing. Spiritual leadership is often challenged in the wilderness. Now, very carefully, listen to these words. Moses and Aaron were not the most popular, and they would not have been the most popular in a public opinion poll of the Israelites if they'd have taken one. In fact, they'd have probably got very few votes for being popular. However, that was who God had put in the leadership of the children of Israel. Is that right? That's right. You know a little bit about what happened You know the burning bush story and all the rest of it. Well, God chose Moses, and then Aaron came along kind of to speak a little bit for him. That was the leadership that God put over those children. God has designed the church to follow the leadership of the pastor. But it doesn't stop there. God has designed the church to follow the leadership of the pastor as the pastor follows the leadership of God. That, my friends, is the way God has intended for the church to operate. It might be said, and I hope, please don't say this, this is not my church, folks. This is not Pastor Turner's church and he can run it any way he wants. No. This is his church. Yes, he has put the shepherd over the sheep, and I'm to go to my knees and I'm going to say, God, how do you want it done? And I'm to read in the book, how do you want it done? And I'm to pray and I'm to get things from God. And yes, there will be there's always going to be a certain flavor in the church of the pastor, because that's humanly speaking the way things are, and I hope you understand that. But this is not Pastor Turner's church. This is God's institution here, folks. And I want you to know that, and most of you that have been around long enough, let me get to the next page here, and I want to read it perfectly how I meant it. Pastor Turner is not a dictator. Amen? Pastor Turner is your friend. I'm speaking in the second person here. In case you're wondering, let me tell you, I know him kind of well. He's a good guy too. He likes oatmeal cookies. Starbucks. Oh, I'm really getting selfish today. I gotta get out of the wilderness here. Tell ya, it's working. She says, I'll bring you some if you'll be quiet. That's right. No, she didn't say that. I'm not a dictator. I don't ever want to be that. I want to be known as your friend. If you say one word about me when I'm gone, just say, please, I hope in your mind and in your heart you will know that I tried to be your friend. Now, I don't know all of you like I know some of you, but I want to know all of you in the same way. The pastor is not a dictator. The pastor is your friend. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:7, jot this reference down. I'll read it. I've written it out. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Right there. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So, I just want you to know this morning, I don't consider myself a CEO either. We've got too many places that are becoming like, too much like corporations. This is a church, ladies and gentlemen. We should be organized, amen? We should be organized. I'm up here today, I'm doing this, and I know I do weird things sometimes, and I wanted to make sure that lid got on there just right, and I like to be organized, but look, I am not a CEO of a company. I'm a shepherd. I'm a lowly, not thought about, now I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about what we think of shepherds, a job that is not as important in our minds sometimes as a CEO. I'm your shepherd. And I'm so honored to be the shepherd of the people of Anchor Baptist Church. The pastor, Pastor Turner, is not a maker of rules. We already have enough in here to last us for the rest of our life that God wants to teach us. I'm not a maker of rules, ladies and gentlemen. What I am, I hope to be, and more and better every day, is a proclaimer of God's Word. You see, Moses and Aaron, boy, they caught a lot of slack, didn't they? But you know what they were doing? What God told them to do. God told them where to go. God told them what to do. And the children of Israel, and we don't have a problem. There's no problem here. I'm just saying. Let's just make sure we get out. I am not a dictator. I'm your friend, folks. When you have a sickness, and when you have a death in the family, and when tragedy comes, when you lose a job, when you get in a wreck, boy, I hope you call me. Because I want to be your friend. Hey, I pray for you. I pray for all of us. We're going through some difficult times sometimes. I'm not a CEO. I'm a shepherd. And I'd take my coat off if you wore the same size as me. Brother Enoch, I know you don't want to hear this. But if you wore a 46 reg approximately, and you needed a coat, you can have mine. It's just a coat. I know somebody else can make me another one. But I'd give you a coat off my back. I got insurance. My insurance policy right over there. Amen? Hey, we're friends here. Don't come to church thinking, I got to impress everybody. Hold on. You don't have to do that. Be yourself. I'm not trying to change who you are. I'm trying to get us closer, though, to who He is. And maybe you will have to change some things. But you know who's going to tell you that? God's going to tell you that. Holy Spirit's going to tell you that. Let's come out of the wilderness. Why? Number one, because in the wilderness was always a place of sin. In the wilderness, also, the leadership, spiritual leadership is often challenged. Number three, and quickly, the wilderness can cause us to lose sight of our goal. What'd the Israelites start talking about? Read it there. What'd they start talking about? Going back. Started talking about bondage. I would have done it too. Lest we get so upset with the Israelites, we'd have been the first ones to complain too. You know, we can't stand in line for three people to go through the Walmart line. We start complaining about short line, long lines, you know. We'd have complained too about being in the wilderness. Can you believe it? They started talking about the past, and what was the past? Making bricks with no straw. Well, I'd love to go back to doing that again, wouldn't you? That's what they were talking about. They lost sight of the goal. God gave them a goal. He said, I'm going to give you, and we'll talk about it in a minute. He said, I'm going to give you a great land. They forgot what was promised them. So we've got to come out of the wilderness because, ladies and gentlemen, there are many things in 2005 that you might set as a goal or you want to try to reach this certain point and you want to do all you can to get there. And let me say, if you're in the wilderness, you're going to lose sight of that goal. Maybe you say this morning, Pastor Turner, I'm going to jump on board with you. Each one, reach one. That's my goal for this year. I've never led anybody to Christ. I've never done anything like that, but I want to learn how to take some of the Bible and show somebody how to be saved. I want to be able to do that, and I want to be able to tell my grandkids, my friends, my neighbors, and you say, I want to do that. Let me say, you can do it. Anything is possible with God, but if we're stuck in the wilderness thinking about all the things we've done wrong in the past and all that, that junk in the back, we're never going to get to what God has promised for us. God's got some great things for you this year. He's got some great things for us this year as a church. Hey, maybe this would be the year that God gives us a building. I don't know. It's up to God. But oh, I'm not going to be stuck in the wilderness so that when the blessings come, I can't even see them because I'm too much worried about the making bricks without straw and taskmasters and all just because they had a little bit of food back there. A physical need they could have met. Well, they had no spiritual need there at all. They were wanting there. Your goal may be to read more of the Bible this year than ever before. Don't lose sight of that goal. Determined to, I'm not gonna, you know, if you say, I'm gonna read the whole Bible, fine, say that. But say, I'm gonna read more this year than ever before. Don't lose sight of that goal. Your goal may be to pass out more gospel tracts this year than ever before. Don't lose sight of that goal. Keep your spiritual eyes focused. We need to come out of the wilderness, ladies and gentlemen, because there's always a place called sin in the wilderness. Spiritual leadership is often challenged. We can lose sight of our goals. Last but not least, oh, this is good. The promised land is beyond the wilderness. We talked about heaven already. The promised land is on the other side of the wilderness. We've got a great country being prepared for us today. Amen. We've got a great city, a mansion, being prepared for us. People of Israel needed to leave the wilderness to enter the promised land. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet, by and by. Boy, in the wilderness. After the wilderness, we got to come out of the wilderness. Why? Because that's where the promised land is. Heaven is beyond the wilderness this morning. And listen carefully now. Heaven is beyond the wilderness of unbelief. This morning, you may have never heard anything quite like a Bible message. What Jesus has done for you when we talked about the Lord's table. How that we are all sinners. You see, this morning, you're in the wilderness. If you're not saved, you're in the wilderness of sin today, and you're in the wilderness of unbelief, and the promised land cannot be yours if you're in the wilderness of unbelief. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what's that next word? Believeth in Him, should not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. We are not going to live forever, you know that. Some of your family members and mine, maybe this year, have taken their last breath. They're no longer with us. But oh, we can have eternal life in a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a life 33 years long, died on an old rugged cross. That was God's payment for your sin and mine. Not only did He die, but He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and then 3 days later, thank God, He came back to life. And now, because of the victory that Jesus has had over death, this morning, you can have eternal life. Oh, I tell you, I would not want you to leave this room this morning without the assurance in your heart that you're saved. The Bible says, Jesus said, ye must be born again. It is not because you're sitting here today that makes you saved. It's a decision that you must make. Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know that sin has separated me from You. I know that Jesus Christ was Your only Son. I know that He died for me, and I put my faith and trust in Him to be my personal Savior. Many of you have prayed that prayer. Many of you have thought that in your mind, and you accepted the Lord. I was 9 years old when I made that decision 22 years ago, and I have not regretted it since. The promised land is ahead for me because when I was 9 years old, I came out of the wilderness of unbelief, and I became what we call a believer. The question is this morning. Are you sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven? You can come out of the wilderness of unbelief today and be saved. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I could give you a lot of nice gifts today. I could take you down and you're a gentleman. We could go to where Brother Enoch works. We could find a $10,000 suit there probably. No kidding. And I could buy you a $10,000 suit. But it would do you no good if inside you don't have the Savior. Because you'd die with a $10,000 suit hanging in your closet. And but the Bible says we die without Christ. We will spend eternity in a place called hell. And that $10,000 suit hanging in your closet would do you no good. I could take you up to Value Village. I could buy you a $10 suit. But oh, if you got Jesus inside your heart, that $10 suit would mean a whole lot more than that $10,000 suit. Because you got something everlasting. And when you wear out the elbows of that $10 suit or the other spots of those suits. We won't go into that. If you missed it Wednesday night, forget about it. I'm not going to tell you. Ooh, boy. Then you can say, well, garbage it goes. It's done. But oh, there's something to look forward to. The promised land. Heaven. Are you saved today? If you are, would you jump on board and say, I'm going to ask God to help me to reach somebody this year. Maybe you can't tell them everything they need to know, but maybe you can bring them here. They can hear the message. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody that doesn't even live around here, and you're going to write them a note, pull one of our gospel tracts inside there, and send it off to them. Maybe they live in a faraway Ontario or another country around the world, but they're lost. Maybe you can write something and reach them with the gospel this year. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that we'll take this challenge from the Word of God. Lord, some of us, in fact, Lord, most of us, in some area of our life, we are in the wilderness. And we need to get out of the wilderness. The wilderness has caused us to fall back on our walk with You, and we just need to stand up on the legs, spiritual legs You've given us as a believer, and we need to say, I'm going to walk out of this thing, and I'm going to do more for you in my life. Dear God, I know you want us to do much for you, and there's so much that needs to be done. Dear God, there's so many people in the last 7 days that have gone out into eternity. Over 150,000 went out into eternity in one day. I wonder if some of those folks had been told the good news of Jesus Christ. Or did they go to their death, not ever hearing one time the good news of salvation? There's so much we've got to do. And your strength, by your strength, you can enable us to do things for you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Would you take a moment in the quietness of this moment in your seat there to examine yourself? Was there a time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you can't find a time in your life when you've done that, then you need to be saved. When the music plays in a little bit, would you come and allow us to take the Word of God and show you how you can be sure that you're going to heaven? It's not the Baptist way, it's the Bible way. We can show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Maybe you're saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized. And this year, 2005, you need to be baptized. You need to get baptized in January. You need to get that settled and get it done. We can help you with that too. Maybe you're not, maybe you say, I'm in the wilderness in some area of my life, Pastor Turner. Why don't you come when the music plays and say, Dear God, by your power and by your strength, I'm walking out of the wilderness. Whatever it is in your life today, He can help you. He's right there waiting for you to call on Him. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you stand where you're at for just a moment? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The music is playing. Don't delay. The first verse is for you. You come this first Sunday morning, 2005, and say, by God's grace, this year, I'm going to stay out of the wilderness, and I'm going to reach as many as I can. I'm going to influence people. I'm going to live for others better than I ever have before by God's grace and His strength. As the music plays, you come. Don't wait. Don't wait. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. Don't turn Him off. Just come on. Make me a blessing. Great song. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Why don't you come? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This year, 2005, I'm coming out of the wilderness. I'm going to do as much as I can for the Lord Jesus Christ. You come. She'll continue to play. You come. Are you sure you're saved today? Oh, we can take the Word of God and show you what you need to know. Are you sure you're saved?